Good afternoon. We'll call the Joint Committee on Emergency Preparedness and Ocean Policy to order. And the first bill up today, we're going to do a little shift, and we will have Senate Bill 1038. I could put my glasses on. For a public hearing and possible work session. Oh, right. I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1038. I'll call up Ken Murphy.
Well, Don is going to open the...
Don's going to open it. I'm sorry.
And then Jim needs to say what the bill
is. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'll tell you in a minute.
And Ken Murphy and Don Bischoff, but he's going to give a little preamble first.
Senate Bill 1038 requires certain state agencies to develop plans for mitigating effects of natural disasters and for recovery and reconstruction efforts after natural disaster has occurred. Authorizes certain state agencies to coordinate and consult with public and private organizations interested in disaster and recovery planning. Appropriates money from the General Fund to the Office of Emergency Management for purposes of this act. This bill has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. And in front of you, there will be three documents, one from Jay Raskin, another from Andre LeDuc, and another article that was provided by Senator Morissette's office.
Madam Chair, why don't any of us have the staff summary on this bill down here?
Is there one? Here in my file.
This one? That one.
How come you got one?
That's pretty interesting.
I always get them. I tell my aide he's fired if he doesn't have one in here.
And we'll get with you.
That's a good reason to have one.
There's three of us that are lacking.
Something. As a matter of fact, I've got two of them here.
There's some glitch.
You got one. Welcome, you're up there instead of a good senator.
Thanks.
Chair Boone, my boss chickened out.
Oh, gently put.
Staff people know more about a lot of what we're doing than we do, so that's why he's making.
You're not supposed to tell people that, Senator.
I'm not supposed to say that. But
Chair Boone, I'd like to have that on the record.
Try to keep us further in the
Chair Boone, Chair Verger, committee members, yes. My name is Don Bischoff. I'm Legislative Assistant Senator Bill Morissette. Senate Bill 1038 grew out of a hallway conversation, I believe, that Senator Morissette had with Jay Raskin, who's a member of the Cannon Beach City Council, about a successful program that they had in Cannon Beach to try to do some advanced planning for disasters. And out of that grew this bill, and there's been one meeting of a large group of people from various state agencies to talk about the bill and what could be done. We realize it's late in the session, and the chances of anything major happening now are maybe somewhat dim, but we still felt that this was an idea worth advancing. I think the general concept is that everybody thinks about emergency planning for mitigating the initial disaster if there's an earthquake or anywhere in Oregon or a tsunami on the coast. The second shoe to drop is what do you do the day after the disaster once you got all the wounded taken care of? And that is, how do you rebuild your city, particularly if half of it is sunk into the ocean as a result of the earthquake and the tsunami? So the aim of the bill is to get some conversation going, dealing with both parts of what happens after a disaster. And with that, I'll let Ken Murphy pick up. You have Jay Raskin's testimony. I commend to you. He wasn't able to be here today. And also Andre LeDuc, who is a University of Oregon professor who worked with the Cannon Beach program and has a lot of is responsible for a lot of the language that's in the bill itself. So at your leisure, I'd suggest that you read those, and you'll have some idea of what went into this. And then Ken Murphy and Vicki McConnell will give you some perspective from each of their respective departments. Thank you.
Could you define that word leisure that you used? Do you think we have that? Is that what you're saying? I'm kidding.
Yeah, you're going to, Chair Boone, I'll respectfully decline the answer, yes.
I'm just being smart.
Chair Boone.
Chair Boone, Co-Chair Verger, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ken Murphy, the Director of Oregon Emergency Management, and I provided some written testimony. I will not read it. I'll just highlight some points in the interest of time and other people that need to be up here talking. I agree with Mr. Bischoff that this is clearly part of our structure of being better prepared in Oregon. You obviously have events that happen prior, during, and after, but there's even a next step after. I think just now it's really sinking in, and after watching Hurricane Katrina, listening to the reports about housing issues, simple issues of tax base, startup, and those kind of things. And there's just a multitude. It's almost hard to imagine all the issues that you need to take a look at in long-term recovery. And just to give you a very simple, the 96 floods of Oregon, just my office alone doing paperwork and dealing with the cities on construction projects and environmental issues, historical issues. We spent almost 7 years just after the 96 floods dealing with that. And some of these hurricanes and some of the larger events will take decades, literal decades, for long-term recovery. This particular concept is clearly, it's laudable. It needs to be done. But I think at this point in time, it needs more work. I think there's a lot more partners that should be in the legislation. And I know, as Mr. Bischoff said, we had one meeting, and I think we need to have many more before we come back before the legislature or this committee with a good detailed plan. There's obviously money associated with it, and I surely don't want to tell you anything until I have a better idea of how that money could be spent, where we would get the money, and how to do it. I think also I want to, for the record, you know, say thank you to Andre LeDuc and University and Cannon Beach and Jay Raskins for taking this step and looking at some of those issues that we have to face that are down the road that some people just don't think about. And finally, I tell you that this is something that we will continue, and we have done some small steps on this, but clearly there's a much larger picture when you look at the entire Oregon coast, the Willamette Valley, eastern Oregon, because long-term recovery affects everybody. It doesn't just affect the people that had the disaster. There's many other issues that affect the rest of our communities and state that would have to be developed in this process. So I think it's a good idea, but I think in the best interest of good public policy and planning that we need to do a lot more homework on our parts with other state agencies and local communities before we come back and detail this out and ask for money.
Madam Chair. Yeah, thank you. the discussion will actually revolve around what happens after the event, if part of the city is gone, and where do you rebuild? What process is in place already to allow you to move ahead with some kind of certainty and not have to spend time figuring out if you're doing the right thing? And so we can't cover all of the contingencies, but we want to try to set up some kind of a process that can be followed to eliminate that chaotic moment when you are trying to start from scratch. At least there'll be some work done, and it will involve the county zoning and the city, and maybe even some pre-planning about where you would like to move, what area you would like to move to, but just to eliminate some of those things that will happen after. And as I remember the report given by Jay from Cannon Beach, it made a lot of sense, you know, that this is something that we need to think about throughout the state and just have a process in place, the process mostly.
Jay's a nice guy. He's very depressing.
Madam
Chair. Tells the truth.
Tells your dentist.
Senator.
Yes, thank you, Co-Chair Boone. Madam Co-Chair and members of the committee, we've spent a lot of time in talking about all the different kinds of disasters and what we need to do to get prepared for it. And so the next step is to look at what happens after the disaster is over. And one of the things that I've learned from the disaster in Louisiana, which involves some of my family, is that people are left, families are separated, homes destroyed, and all the bad things that happen. And they really didn't have any kind of planning for what was going to happen, as many hurricanes and all as they have. The only people that were really involved in that were people like the Red Cross and a few agencies and the National Guard. But what I would like to ask you, Ken, is that the part that volunteers have played in Louisiana, and volunteers from Oregon have done quite a bit of the work. In fact, we have a senator, Senator Starr, who has been one of those volunteers that has gone down and worked in the New Orleans area. And so I would just like to ask your thoughts about that and suggest that perhaps as we go forward and do planning in that, that we incorporate some of the volunteer organizations that might step in at a time like that.
Chair Boone, Co-Chair Berger, I appreciate that too, and I think that's one thing too that we need to really, in my office and in other offices, is really engage the full spectrum of all the different volunteer organizations. There's just so many great organizations, good-hearted people, and I've had a couple meetings with the Oregon Volunteer Commission, and there's another statewide group called Volunteer Organizations Active in Disaster that represents different groups, and I think there's a lot of those that we can bring to bear, because they can help in that process. They can also help in an interim while people are struggling with issues of their family and their city, and that they can bring a little bit of semblance of peace and security, and somebody cares about them while government tries to rebuild and put things back. So I think they play a key part, not only in the long-term recovery of our physical structures of our city, but our behavioral health and our mental health and how we feel about ourselves and our communities.
Senator George?
Oh, I think the representative was ahead of me.
No, I was waving at the coach.
Oh, you were just making...
Yeah, that's right. Hi, how are you doing?
Well, we may have...
Fine, thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. We may have the pre-run-up coming real soon. I understand we're going to get this report like Tuesday of next week, and that is on Department of Geology, according to what the Center President has told me, his report on the condition of our hospital emergency ward, our schools, and our fire departments. And I don't know how many of you have even heard the word that's coming out, but we have 30% plus of the schools and facilities are in bad shape, and up to 70% are in moderate condition of catastrophic failure in event of an earthquake. So I think that's something we're going to have to address. I hope we look at that as a challenge to kind of be ramping up as far as preparedness, and to be able to address those issues, and hopefully we don't leave this building without addressing the state mental hospital, which is in horrible condition. We should be ashamed of ourselves, and that we don't leave here until we've done something about it. All of our preparedness that we've been talking about here would be for naught if we absolutely can't address, you know, the preparedness we need from our fire departments, the schools that will operate, and the hospitals that must operate, and of course us protecting the most vulnerable people that we have locked up just down the street from here. And I'm going to have to tell you something. Can I do a commentary here? Just a little commentary.
A little short one.
Short commentary. We're going to remodel this Capitol building. And I'm going to tell you, I think it's so immoral that we would do that remodel and not do something about that state hospital. Thank you for letting me do that. I feel better already.
Share the soapbox with Representative
My name is on it.
I was just going to say that. The very thing. Senator George, I couldn't agree with you more. But... thank you both for being here. You know, I just wonder if we would consider, because this just came up, a task force on how to handle the potential hazards. For example, you know, all this mercury and all this stuff that, you know, could happen if we had an earthquake. How do we, you know, what are these hazardous materials or areas? Because it's now my understanding that we can, if we don't do something about that, we then perpetuate the catastrophes.
you know, one right after the other. It's just like something catching on fire afterward. But anyway, I was just unaware of how many different types of hazardous materials or waste sites or, you know, that we have here, and no one has a plan or even knows where they are. I mean, at least we could make, you know, if we had a task force, we could make everybody aware of these are the sites, and, you know, you community teams need to get together or something, that this is a flag.
I agree.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yeah, Representative Cowan. Thank you, Madam Chair. I need to throw out a cautionary note here. I really heard and appreciated what Director Murphy had to say about needing to get an idea what it is we want to plan for and what we need to pull together. One of the things that's still floating around, to the best of my knowledge, is the effort to simply reinforce the shop at Oregon Emergency Management and get a little more staffing in there so that some of these things could be addressed. And I guess at this point, that's where I would like to focus our energies, is to try to get adequate personnel available to start pulling it together and thinking about what it is that we do need to do. And the second point I'd like to make is that we tend to focus on the major catastrophes, and certainly the hurricane has given us some reason to think about that, and then we start kind of putting all of these worst-case scenarios together in terms of what will happen if we have the big one. But we have everyday emergencies annually. We can count on some sort of natural disaster. And what I've discovered from going through a number of those, and the floods of 96 really bring that to my mind, is the necessity for tracking as we go along and keeping track of our expenditures as we try to fix our roads and those kinds of things. That's incredibly important as we then move to the next steps of recovery, trying to recover some of those funds from FEMA. And if we aren't well prepared with backup data, it's difficult to move those next steps forward. So we have some very basic stuff that we know right now that we need to do, and probably helping all counties be sort of prepared as to what they need to gather if they do have those kinds of emergencies. All of those kinds of things are the help that I think that Oregon Emergency Management can provide. And so I guess I would just strongly encourage us to focus our efforts on getting that agency beefed up to where it needs to be. I think they know what they need to do, rather than kind of sending them off in a variety of directions.
Representative Shoffler and then Senator Morissette.
This is a side note, but I think it's directly related to our ability to respond to emergencies, whether it be a tsunami, earthquake, or a forest fire, or whatever. I was talking to Mr. Evans, who's working for the governor's office on Veterans Affairs things, and I mean, we're spending, I think, $500 billion over in Iraq, whatever it is, but in order for this country, and I know Oregon's been directly impacted by this, this country's going to, his estimate that he'd read or been told, for this country to get back where we were before this war is something like $1.2 trillion in equipment, trucks, etc., to get us back where we were. Now, I know for a fact this state is not where we were, and our ability to respond isn't what it was. And that, on top of all this other planning we've been talking about in this committee, we're in a hole, is what we are. And I pray to God that we don't need anything for another 10 years. So I just wanted to throw that out there for people to be thinking about it. Thank you, Madam Chair, for indulging me.
Madam Chair, the intent is not to move the bill today. The intent is to read the material, bring back the experts who are concerned about what will happen immediately after disaster, and see if we can come up with a process that can be put in place to deal with that, whatever we want to do after the disaster. That's the only thing this does, and we're not ready for it yet. When this was introduced, we weren't sure of the magnitude of the work. And the experts who were working on that are not here today, and so we have to read the material. So this is just to introduce the idea and work on it during the interim, and then come back and decide whether or not we we want really want to do this is what we're talking about.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Get an amendment to do that. Okay, thank you and very much. And I'll call up Dr. Vicki McConnell and Paul Claren. Welcome.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Vicki McConnell, and I'm the director for the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. I have passed out a very small amount of written testimony, and I can sum it up fairly quickly. I think that Ken Murphy really hit most of the nail on the head with what he told you. It's a great idea. Community should be encouraged to take what we call the hard look at what's going to happen, and then be able to plan or implement or at least get some idea of where they can go from there. And certainly my agency is always the one that has to bring the bad news to them as to what it is that they should be watching out to duck or look out for or get away from. And with that kind of information, then they can go forward and determine, you know, what's the problem going to be, how big is it going to be, and how can we move forward. We would be happy to work with a group, a named group, to provide scientific information and input on the hazards and the issues and to help with building resilient communities. That's really part of our mandate, and we feel very strongly about that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Chair Boone, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Paul Claren with the Department of Land Conservation Development. We've already submitted our written comments on this. Again, we believe it's a very good concept, very laudable goal. Our concern is largely with the cost and level of effort and the time it will take, not just for our department, but primarily for local governments. Right now, they have their hands full just trying to handle permits, deal with day-to-day development issues, and Measure 37 claims. And this is a sort of long-term planning that is really going to suck up some staff time, staff that many of the smaller communities don't even have. They don't have professional planners. So this will require, in our view, a great deal of grant money to local governments, contract money for some consultants that will have to be called in.
Madam Chair.
We're
making a huge mountain out of something that I think we want to avoid at this point. I want to see a process set up. What does the local government have to do to make sure it's okay to build in a particular area? To do what you're suggesting is never going to happen. It can't. We don't have the time or the money. I'm looking for, you know, someone to come together and talk about what steps people go through, and some communities may want to plan in more detail and others not, but I don't want to do what you're suggesting that we're doing. Absolutely not, because it will never happen. It's got to be a local issue. Communities, you know, if we could do a master kind of a blueprint of these are steps that communities legally can go through that they can't go through right now to make decisions, that would be a huge step ahead. What can they do to make sure they're acting legally instead of doing something and having to come back and explain it, and to give some comfort when something happens that they're at least the beginning of, and then the action is up to them. But I don't want to do all that kind of planning. That would be self-defeating, and it would never happen.
Okay. Any more questions? So, Senator George.
I really believe that this bill is a framework for beginning the process of analyzing the problem. What about if under at line 9 we add the language that each agency, I know you guys hate to do this, the entities listed below will support the following concepts to a level that is supportable by their budget. In other words, it's just, if you can, do it. I know what I would do with land use. I'd say, where's the high ground and how do I use it? What's the most stable ground and how do I use it? In an emergency, I'm not going to come and ask you. I'm going to go put those people over there. Okay, I'm not going to want to care about your land use planning when there's an emergency. So I want you to tell me, based upon the following conditions of a catastrophic event, where could we use it? I think that could be done very simply. I really do. I mean, we have enormous databases relative to the geology, and we also have a concept of probably what we'll, where we'll need to be with what measures to deal with a catastrophic event. So my thought would be something that would provide that they would at least begin to think in terms. In other words, let me phrase it this way. If I'm working on a project in land use or I'm working on a project in geology, and I'm thinking about, okay, here's what I have discovered relative to schools or hospitals or whatever, what do I need to, in the case of a catastrophic event, in other words, we have a major earthquake, where would I recommend, in order to respond to this, where would I recommend that we would take action? Okay, and then I would just put that into my file and I would submit it as part of this plan. I know that that can be done. No private company would not ask their subdivisions of their business not to respond in some form and at least begin to think in terms of gathering information that would be helpful. Can I get a response from you guys on that idea of just taking what information we have at your convenience with whatever you can afford and trying to begin to coordinate?
I'll take a stab at that first. Co-chairs and Senator George, really a lot of that already occurs in a agency by agency basis. And what I'm hearing is that we'd like to see it really what it's called is like a clearinghouse, where someone could go to a clearinghouse, they could get information that they need on what's legal, what isn't, what's the problem, what isn't the problem, what's the scope of it, etc. I think we all attempt to do that. Laying a network or a plan over it of something, I believe this is called the Community Resilience Act, isn't it? And that really would be something coming up from the local governments to being encouraged to use that information and seeing some structure with that. Again, I agree with you. I think we can work on that. I think that we could come up with some ideas on that. But it's rather nebulous right now. And I respectfully ask, we're all given a chance to meet with all these interest groups and the stakeholders and come back with something that seems like a more palatable way to build that structure.
First of all, the experts that we relied on to start this discussion are not here. They submitted written testimony.
Right.
And this is an ongoing process. We're hopefully going to be working on this during the interim. Hopefully we're going to come back in February, and hopefully some of these bills or ideas can carry over. So I don't expect action on this bill. This is then introduce the idea, and we just need to move ahead and hear from the experts and see what we can do.
Well, what I'm going to do is ask, with your permission, Senator Morissette, since it's your bill, to have Jim have an amendment drafted to set something up like a task force.
Yeah, absolutely.
Will that work for you?
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1038. And I'm going to open, and just as a reminder, the Senate has to leave at 4, and so does the House. So we've got 20 minutes plus to do this. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 875. And as our perfect administrator can settle.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. You will recall Senate Bill 875 sounds very familiar to you because this committee has already passed it out, and it's passed off the Senate floor, and it's come back before us because it requires additional amendments. Senate Bill 875 is the measure that authorizes the Department of State Lands to promulgate rules for the licensing of wave energy facilities or devices. You have before you two amendments. The -A5 amendments replace the concept of licensing with authorization. There's two references in Section 3 of the bill so it accurately reflects how facilities would receive permission from the Department of State Lands to operate those wave energy facilities. The Dash A5 amendments also delete the exemption from financial assurance and closure requirements for small wave energy projects located in Oregon's territorial sea that do not require a FERC license. The reason for this deleting this exemption and therefore requiring even those small projects to meet those requirements is that certainly the Department of State Lands recommends that all of these projects comply with those requirements, but also it's come to the attention of the folks that proposed this that there would be no problem, for example, removing the anchor systems. Now all seem to be removable from the seafloor, and so those closure requirements would be appropriate in those instances. We also have the Dash A7 amendments, and those delete the emergency clause and prescribe an effective date of the 91st day after adjournment sine die. And the reason is because this can affect tax credits by stating that ocean wave energy is a renewable energy source and that therefore makes them eligible. It's arguable that they're already eligible under current law. This bill is clarifying that indeed ocean wave energy is a renewable energy, that therefore those facilities would be available, eligible for tax credits. And so just to be on the safe side, where tax credits, of course, cannot have an emergency clause attached to them. And so we were deleting the emergency clause there and then prescribing the effective date of the 91st day after sine die. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, we'll call up Rob Bovette and Louise Soliday. And thank you for your
comments. Madam Chair, Madam Co-Chairs, members of the committee, Rob Ovette, Assistant County Counsel, Lincoln County. Actually, Council did a very excellent job at describing the A5s and A7s. We were intending to send it over to the House, as you all heard before, but we do want to make these two technical corrections, one to keep. The things that have happened since the first hearing is DSL has introduced some draft rules. We like them, and we're going to work with them on implementing those rules and making some clarifications to them. That'll take basically the summer, and we want to make this bill consistent with their work. The A5s help to do that. The A7s, it's my fault. I put an E-clause on this bill. Article 9, Section 1A of the Oregon Constitution says you can't have a bill that does anything to anything relating to taxation and have an E-clause on it, and that was my mistake. So I apologize for that. Department of Revenue pointed it out to me after it had passed the Senate floor, and Judith ordered up the amendments. So I urge you to move the A5s and the A7s into the bill.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Louise Soliday, Director of the Department of State Lands, just here to support the A5 amendments. We think it is consistent with the direction we want to head with our rulemaking, and we appreciate the committee considering the amendment. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Madam Chair. Mike. Yeah, just a quick skim of this. We're going away from the requiring 100% bond, but there's some language in there talking about if you go out of business or whatever, to remove everything, what are we doing to ensure that we don't have a pile of junk floating out there?
Madam Co-Chairs and Representative Schaffler, excellent question. Actually, the bill started as a 100% bond requirement. What we actually changed in the bill was to add other things beyond a bond. So you could have a guarantee, you could have a surety of a variety of means, you could bank account, insurance, a variety of things. We broadened it up, but we also built in an exemption for certain test projects. We allowed them, the thought was we were going to allow them to keep some of the materials there because it would be cost prohibitive. As it turns out, the Dash A5s actually tighten up that by removing the exemption entirely, because what I didn't know then and I do now is that all three test systems that are being proposed for this summer will have temporary anchors. Mm-hmm. So once they're done, they need to get out and get out completely. So this actually, the amendments that we have before you actually tighten up those and are consistent with DSL's approach, which is if you're abandoning facilities, get it out of the ocean.
Thank you.
Just for a point of clarification, Madam Chair and members, if you look on page 3 of the A engrossed version of the bill, starting on line 30, that's where it talks about the various options they have for to approve financial assurance. It's already in the engrossed version that has already passed the House that's before you today.
All right. Any questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We'll entertain a motion for the 8-5.
We're not reading the steps, Madam Chair.
There's the...
I would move approval of the dash 5 amendments.
It's
A5.
A5. Representative Cowan moves the A5 amendments. Any objections? Discussion? Okay. They're adopted. I would entertain a motion on the dash 87.
Secondly, Madam Chair, I would also move approval of the dash A7 amendments.
Cowan moves adoption of the dash A7 amendments. Any objections? Discussion? So adopted. Cowan, would you like to make the final motion?
Madam Chair, I would move approval of Senate Bill 875A engrossed as amended.
Representative Cowan has moved the bill, Senate Bill 875 as amended. It's 875A as amended.
To
the House floor. Any objection? Discussion?
Do you have a recommendation?
Yeah, I would say with the due pass.
With the due pass recommendation.
With the due pass recommendation. Okay. Any objection? Any discussion? Okay, now, Mike.
Larry Doris.
Aye.
Aye.
We have a bill. We have a carrier for the House. House carrier. Rep. Cowan, since you made all the motions. Rep. Cowan.
That'll carry.
Yeah. I'd be happy to close the work session on House Senate Bill 875, and I will, unless there's any other business before this body, we'll adjourn. Thank you very much.